Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're wrapping up this week just some reflection on the powerful, beautiful, insightful, life-transforming passages we've been given in the first reading, in particular at Mass each day this week. I've decided to take up Paul's teaching that he's giving from his letter to the Romans, which is just packed with critical, critical information. Of course, the Gospels are full of gold, and so is the psalm given at Mass, but can't do all of it. But I thought this would be particularly helpful, and I hope it has been helpful for you this week. It's been a joy to be able to chew on this word and break it open and help us see what's the spiritual reality that we are living, each and every one of us individually. What exactly has Jesus accomplished for us? What is the Father's plan? What do we know if you've been baptized into Christ? What has he actually done in us? What have I received? What have I inherited? Who am I now? How has this changed my life? That's really what we've been touching on. And what does it mean to live a life apart from this? What is the actual human condition, the human anthropology? Who are we? What are we born into? So Paul talks about all of it. We're touching on different elements of it. And most of it is right through, I encourage you to take up Paul's letter to the Romans and just read through the whole thing slowly, but get a Bible that has a good set of footnotes and some good commentary, like Ignatius Catholic Study Bible, which would be very helpful in just getting at some of the key things, because Paul's hard to understand at some time. I think it was St. Jerome back when he was reading Paul and writing, either translating, writing commentary, whatever, took it and threw the book across the room. He was so frustrated. Paul, I can't understand you. So it's difficult, but there's grace. And thank God for the Bible teachers that given the church to help break this stuff open in a way that's very accessible, very understandable. And most of all, it has power to change our lives. I mean, radically change us, to make us a new creation, bring us from hopelessness to hope, from discouragement to new life and hope and joy in the Lord. It's real. And we can live like we saw, we read about in the Bible, and we see in the lives of the saints and others, ordinary people like us, fallen, broken, disappointed in the world, struggling sometimes day to day to make ends meet. We literally can access the life-transforming power of not just the words of the Bible, but the Bible tells us, it helps us understand what the Lord has actually done for us. What is he doing in us? What does he have for us? And as we go deeper and we stand on these truths and we allow them to define who we are, then we begin to harvest the graces and the promises that are present, even in this life, even in the midst of hardship and difficulty. So today I'm going to just touch on some things from Romans 7 that was referred to in the reading on Friday, and then Romans 8, the beginning of Romans 8 as well. And Paul, as he's gone through this teaching now on sin and our victory over sin, how we participate in the new life that's in Jesus, coming into the righteousness that God has brought us to, the sanctification, God has set us apart and made us holy by uniting us to the life of his Son in baptism, making it possible to have our sins washed away, giving us capacity now in the Holy Spirit to no longer be slaves to sin. We're no longer under the dominion of sin. Dominion is the death. Sin is a power. So is death, as we've talked about. These are dominions. They're spiritual darkness. Dominions of spiritual darkness that the Lord has freed us from. If we're paying attention, if we're walking in the graces, if we're receiving the sacraments, we've been baptized into Christ, we're reading the Word of God, we're believing as Abraham did. And this week started with Abraham. And as Paul was making the analogy, he was making the comparison of Abraham was found righteousness by God. Why? Because he believed God. He trusted God against all hope. We talked about the situation of Sarah and God's promises. He bet everything on God. And God is not afraid to call Abraham his friend, it says in another place in the New Testament, because he accepted who God was as God has revealed to him. And he radically abandoned his entire enterprise, absolutely every inch of who he is, to the Lord. He bet everything on the promises of God. and that was counted to him as righteousness. That was an act of faith, of radical surrender and trust to God. And there's a foreshadowing. That's why Abraham is considered and described as our father in faith. And so it began there. So then Paul breaks it all open. So today he's talking about the battle that's still within us, the carnal man, the fallen man. We're not yet fully perfected. And so he'll say, did that which is good then bring death to me? By no means. It was sin working death in me through what is good in order that sin might be shown to be sin and through the commandment might become sinful beyond measure. So God is exposing through the commands, through the law, he's exposing sin because we fall short of sin. The law that was given to us by God, the commandments meant for our good, the commandments which are good in themselves from God, and they still matter today, though meant for good, what they ended up doing is like a light shining in us and exposing the sin-sick condition in the human heart. We don't love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Don't love our neighbor as ourselves. Filled with, as Jesus described in the Gospels, look into the human heart, he said. What's in there? Envy, jealousy, rivalry, conceit, hatred, bitterness, unforgiveness, lust, fornication, homosexual behavior, you name it. All these things that human beings, one way or another, are tied up in. The sin problem that's in the human heart and the affection for sin that we develop in our lives. And now we are under a power and a dominion and the gift of the Holy Spirit in the new life. We have a new power and a new capacity to overcome that if we cooperate with God and say yes to it. But Paul says he still battles against these temptations. He describes it this way. We know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal. I'm sold under sin. I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree that the law is good. So then it is no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells within me. This dimension of sin in me, Paul is saying. For I know that nothing good dwells within me, that is in my flesh. This is concupiscence. This is the fallen dimension of the human race, the temptation we all still feel at times, to say, my will be done, not God's will be done. Me first. It's about me. Is everybody seeing me? Is everybody recognizing me? Am I getting the money I want, the power I want, the recognition I want, the comfort I want? All of that. That's concupiscence. That's what he's talking about here, the flesh, that fallen dimension, which the Spirit is powerful enough now in us to put to death that flesh, which Paul will talk about in Romans 8 very powerfully. He said, I can will what is right, but I cannot do it. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil that I do not want is what I do. Now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I that do it, but sin which dwells in me. So this sin that dwells, the fallen man, is there. And Paul's not saying, therefore, just do it. What he's saying is the old man is being put to death. Flesh is present. And he'll say later, if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you'll deal with it. We'll get to where the saints are. You see the whole trajectory. The saints weren't born glowing in the dark. They heard the call. They responded to it radically. And when they saw the pearl of great price, they sold out for it and they pursued the Lord. They had to go to confession. They had to face this. And slowly but surely, they moved into a place of purity and holiness that was God's work in them and the work of the Holy Spirit. They pursued it. It became a primary goal of their life, right? To turn away from sin, to give to God what belongs to God, to bring about, you know, to seek the help and salvation of their neighbor. So loving their neighbor. He goes on. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. Think about that. Here I am. I'm 67. I've been following the Lord very seriously since I was about 17. And by God's grace, I have to say, there's a whole set of habit patterns of sin that I was caught up in that I just am not caught up in anymore. But guess what? It's lurking right there. You know, greed, lust, anger, bitterness, unforgiveness, all those things, they're just lurking there. And over time, they no longer dominate us. And its power over us gets smaller and smaller. And it's what Paul says later, as I said, subduing it, the will of the flesh, by the grace of the presence of the Holy Spirit. Verse 22, chapter 7. For I delight in the law of God in my inmost self, but I see in my members another law at war with the law of my mind and making me captive in the law of sin, which dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am! Who will deliver me from this body of death? He says, exclamation point. Why is this still in me? Verse 25, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I of myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin. So there's a battle within. So don't feel like the Lone Ranger as you're fighting this battle, friends. But he says, there is therefore, in verse 8, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. This is big. I'm going to talk about this more next week. The devil wants to condemn us, to say, look what's still in you. There's no way God could love you. You're not a good person. You're not a Christian. Look what's in there. And then our pride gets caught up in it, and we start to condemn ourselves if we're not careful. Self-condemnation. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set us free from the law of sin and death. The law of the Spirit. This is the new law. This is the fulfillment of all the commandments, all the law that God, the grace and light that the Lord brought in through the commandments, joined us through the journey of the people of Israel and the like. And it's all pointing toward what Jeremiah and Ezekiel, the prophets, called about a new covenant in the Spirit through the blood of Jesus Christ. And God's going to put his law into our hearts. And that new law is the Holy Spirit. So that from the inside, slowly as we yield to the Holy Spirit, a new law, a new power, a new direction, a new yes to God, embracing the will of God begins to emerge in us more and more every day. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, the Spirit of life, this new life in the Holy Spirit that we receive from Jesus, the Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. He set me free. And there's a greater power in me now than the power of sin and death. Death no longer has hold over me. Sin does not have full dominion over my life. The world doesn't have dominion over my life. Temptation's there. The world is there trying to seduce me back into habit patterns of sin. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. Okay, my weak flesh gives in to temptation. But what did God do? God sent his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. He condemns sin in the flesh. He took on human flesh, and human flesh, which was made, human beings, fleshly creatures, were made to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Beginning with Adam and Eve, we were meant to be united to God in this state, in this condition, but Adam and Eve did not trust God. They said no to God. They said yes to their flesh, and all of it came in, the kingdom of darkness. But Jesus came, and he condemned sin, the fallen nature, in order that the just requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh now, but according to the Spirit. So learning to live by this Holy Spirit, the Christian life is a new life in the Spirit. Paul says we learn to walk by the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. And so if you set your mind on the Spirit, receive it, believe it, you will learn to walk in the freedom of the sons and daughters of God. Hope you can tune in next week. Have a blessed weekend.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Does God Judge? Wow, what a question, but it's a relevant question. Scripture says we were all appointed to die once and then the judgment. We know for sure each one of us has an appointment in our future. And it takes Scripture, Catechism, and the saints to help us understand the beauty of God's plan and how we can look forward to the judgment as followers of Christ. If you'd like to get a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/FOE.